I hope you're all sober enough for this. On second thought, well, here we go. With St. Paul's admonition, gird your loins. You know, as I was reflecting this past week on this morning's gospel text just proclaimed concerning the circumcision of Jesus, I thought, paraphrasing my predecessor, Dr. Ralph McMichael, that, well, everyone has a little reservation in them about this. And the long and short of it is, why not just bear it all and pull out the knife and cut to the point? Yes, that. Bloody that. On the eighth day after his birth, Christ received circumcision, as the Old Testament Jewish law provided. The only, and I mean only, commentary I have in my rather large library that would even touch this subject got very specific about it. The circumcision is the cutting off from around the end part of the male organ. This is done to every Jewish male child because it is provided by God's command, which was given at the beginning to Abraham and continues to this very day. This is providentially, I'm certain, providence being Andrew's name, I guess, my second visitation of Jesus' circumcision with you. Some of you perhaps may recall my original recounting of an abrupt conversation with my somewhat headstrong eldest daughter, who lives in San Diego, California, about her decision 6 years ago now to leave her newborn son, my grandson, John Charles, two names, you understand, uncircumcised. Over the telephone, I remember saying, maybe just a little indignantly, something to the effect that if it was good enough for Abraham, Moses, King David, Isaiah, and all the prophets, John the Baptist, Joseph, Jesus, your grandfather, father and brother, it should probably be all right for precious little John Charles to go under the knife. And in that steely Texan become flaky Californian way, she put me in my place. You know, Daddy, people out here just don't do that sort of thing anymore. I gave up. It was just a physical image thing for me anyway. Nothing really religious, so I let it go. But we can't today. We can't ever, because there's something truly, deeply important, dare I say essential, about the bloody, blunt, earthy truth of the cutting off of the little baby Jesus' foreskin. Something about salvation here, really. As the fathers decided to celebrate the Nativity of Christ on the 25th day of December, it is natural that the circumcision, which was performed after 8 days, is celebrated on the 1st of January, just 8 days after his birth. The closest the prayer book gets to that word or that act is in the Great Litany, where it says, "By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity and submission to the law, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation, by thine agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost, good Lord, deliver us." Every act of Christ is an act of salvation, part of that composite whole. And that circumcision is called the submission to the law. There's a well-known ancient Orthodox Christian troparion, a liturgical and theological chant that brings out the theological importance of Jesus' circumcision. It says, "The Savior, condescending to the race of man in swaddling clothes, accepted circumcision. He did not abhor the cutting of his flesh." His circumcision, it seems, must be interpreted within the theology of the self-emptying, what the Greek calls kenosis, the self-emptying which he accepted for the deliverance of the human race. God from heaven did come to earth to be born man of a human mother. The Creed says it. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate in flesh from the Virgin Mary and was made man. This extreme condescension and kenotic self-emptying of Christ is regarded by the church as a universal great feast of the Lord. Martin Luther, whom I usually don't quote because I think he was neurotic, but he said something good this time. The mystery of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. Because he was born and lived in a particular, concrete, historical, religious environment, Jesus kept all of Judaism's regulations and customs. His circumcision enfleshed him into the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and all the house of Israel, the ancient people of God, our elder brothers. And that covenant, that dedication, that agreement, that everlasting testament between God and his people must be confirmed by blood. It presaged, if you will, the New Testament, the New Covenant, new agreement, not only of the Jews, but now with all people everywhere. God's new agreement confirmed by the blood of Christ on his cross, when for our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. Where when he was cut by the nails and pierced by the soldier's spear, from his own heart and body, blood and water poured out. The fathers call this the beginning of the church, the precious blood of Christ shed for us and the commingled water of his baptism to overwhelm us, to plunge us into his death, us into his burial, us into his resurrection. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The old cut of the flesh made by human hands is become by baptism the new cut of the heart, not made with hands. The old cut off, useless, dead, cast off foreskin, prefiguring the new life in Christ by the putting away of the old man, the sinful man in us, what the New Testament calls the flesh. Being put to death by repentance, the cut of our hearts, put under the seal of Christ's blood and renewed by the cleansing water of baptism. A cleansing, not of the filth of the body, but of the stain of the soul. New, vibrantly new, clean and regenerate life is imparted to us by this blood and water cleansing and washing. In a few moments, you'll hear Father Andrew asked the parents and godparents of the two children each to undergo baptism this morning. Name this child. And they will be given their Christian names. And they shall be made Christians. Indelibly marked. More indelibly marked than a circumcision. Indelibly marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit with the holy name of Jesus upon them. This too, like Jesus's, is their name day, the day they begin to bear in their bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus. They will become reborn. They will begin to learn faith. They will become illuminated in their souls. They will begin deification, having received the true and spiritual circumcision, which is Christian baptism. I have always, always wondered what secret, interior thoughts and ponderings the Blessed Virgin Mary kept treasured in her Immaculate Heart. the joy of the angelic chorus and the awe of the shepherds mingled with the sad beauty and severe mercy of this manger babe, this kenotic child, this condescending God in human flesh, now wrapped in the burial cloths of portending death, whose tenderest and most sensitive member will soon feel the first nick of the sharp knife to draw his first blood and wound his dear mother's heart. Henry Nouwen once suggested that we would all live happier lives if we accepted this unalterable truth. Our life is a short time in expectation, a time in which sadness and joy kiss each other at every moment. There is a quality of sadness that pervades all the moments of our life. It seems that there is no such thing as a clear-cut, pure joy, but that even in the most happy moments of our existence, we sense a tinge of sadness. In every satisfaction, there is an awareness of limitations. In every success, there is a fear of jealousy. Behind every smile, there is a tear. In every embrace, there is loneliness. In every friendship, distance. And in all forms of light, there is the knowledge of surrounding darkness. But this intimate experience in which every bit of life is touched by a bit of death can point us beyond the limits of our existence. It can do so by making us look forward in expectation to the day when our hearts will be filled with perfect joy, a joy that no one shall ever take away from us. Merry Christmas, little baby Jesus. By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity and submission to the law, we do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. Good Lord, deliver us. May your most holy name be the deepest cut of our hard hearts. Heal up soon, infant Savior. Heal us and make us whole forever. Amen.